Live from Run Your Mouth World Headquarters.
First up, we explore the best Trans Day of Visibility celebrations, including sales, where you can purchase items that identify as fully priced. Or in Charleston, South Carolina, you can join the thousands of men paying tribute by using the ladies' restroom.
Man, this is a hell of a line. I'd hate to have to wait on something like this all the time. That's why I prefer just to pee upright and move on. Who wants to put on all this doggone makeup and then have to stand around in a line like this all day? I might pee my pants just waiting on this line.
Next up, Sam Bankman-Fried receives 25 years for defrauding investors. Our panel predicts if you will be pardoned or Epstein. Next up, after pushback to the release of Lizzo's new manatee line, a beachwear designed to encourage women to push through the diabetes and achieve full beauty, Lizzo has retired from whatever it is that she actually does. R&B icons expect her to use this time to take Ozempic and do a rebrand, leaving her less fortunate followers she encouraged to fatness, sad and alone.
It's your daily dose of misinformation pulled from a lightly hemorrhoided asshole. It's today's Run Your Mouth.
Hi, everybody. How's your day going? Did everyone have a nice Trans Day of Visibility? Were you able to get out there, see the sights and scenes? I tried doing an episode last night, and then I found out for all this glorious studio green screen lighting equipment, we are not soundproof from the overheads. And so, yeah, the neighbor up there, I don't know what kind of construction he was doing, but hopefully he doesn't continue it because he was throwing off my whole mojo. I had a whole thing planned, and we got all sorts of topics that we're going to get into, but we do have some nonsense that we, to start the episode with. Firstly, you don't want to read the news at all today. I spent 2 minutes on Twitter. You go onto Twitter and somebody gets you before you remember or realize that it's April Fool's. It always happens. I go onto the Twitter and someone announces that Fish just broke up. And I'm like, damn, Fish broke up. I'm like, do I even care? I was like, I haven't gone to see them in 3 years. I feel like I'm a little bit over going to see Fish. And you're like, yeah, but it would be kind of cool to see them once more. And I'm going through all these thoughts in my head. And then you got to go to Google. You're like, did Fish break up? And then you're not seeing any articles. You're like, right, it's April Fool's. It's going to be a whole day of people pulling at my emotions where you read something, you debate whether or not you even care about it, it affects your life. And then you realize that it's a load of shit anyways. So just take today off from the news. Guys, straight talk right now. There will be no bullshit for this whole episode because you know why? I was trying to do this episode yesterday before it was April Fool's. And things like Trans Day of Visibility, that's not an April Fool's joke. That's an actual real thing. But before we get into Trans Day of Visibility and what that means for us as a society, as you drive around and try and let the people know that you can see them, you do have to appreciate the little things in life. You know, sometimes you show up to your studio and the people, they're doing the construction out there. So you got to go home. You got to eat lunch. You got to waste time just so you can come back and actually get your episodes out. And so sometimes you just need to take a moment and appreciate the little things because things are going wrong all the time in all of our lives. And so here's a little thing that I've come to appreciate. It's that moment when you pull into your driveway after a drunk drive home and you realize I made it. Now, I don't endorse drunk driving. You get in too much trouble for that. Even though I feel like over the age of 35, they should just loosen up that policy. There should be just something like, if you hadn't had a DUI yet, you know, after 2 a.m, are there kids out on the road anyways? But here's the other thing. I am currently driving a pull-me-over mobile. Firstly, my entire windshield's cracked. It's been cracked for 2 years. You think I'm ever going to solve that problem? I mean, it's free. You just got to call the insurance. You can leave it in the driveway, and they'll just come fix it. But, you know, at this point, I'm kind of used to the vision of seeing it through the cracked windshield. And then the other day, I was driving back from the airport, and I don't know how I hit a cone. I don't know what I did to hit a cone, but it took my mirror clean off. You know what's great about that is even after living moments like hitting a cone and removing my mirror off my own car, I still think I'm a good driver. In my head, I'm a good driver. Now, I don't know what happened. I'm still convinced that there was someone who pushed that cone into my car. There's no way there was just a fixed cone there that I hit. And so now I got, by the way, you don't realize how much you actually use your mirror until you don't have a mirror. It's a little disorienting. You think you can just check the blind spot and get a good feel for cars, but you can't. And so I currently have a loosely duct taped mirror hanging off the side of my car. And nothing says pull me over late at night like a dented up Subaru, a mirror hanging off the thing. You drive around drunk and it feels like you're escaping from prison. You're like, you got to stick the speed limit. You got to pop a couple Zimos in your mouth. You got to make sure you're locked in and focused. But then once you actually hit that driveway and you have that sigh of relief that you're not going to have to, you know, put up money for a lawyer for something that wasn't even dangerous anyways, it's a nice wholesome feeling. Moments like that brought to you by YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, longest-term sponsor on this show, makes the green screen possible. Anyways, let's get into our episode. First topic of the day is, of course, none other than Trans Day of Visibility. I don't know how many of you guys canceled your Easter plans so that you could go out and celebrate. I was actually, sometimes you follow the news and culture and you actually care about what's going on. And then sometimes you care more about your jokes and you're almost upset if a problem gets fixed or if people aren't aware of a problem because you want to make fun of it. And so last year, I had a joke about Trans Day of Visibility. I really liked the joke, and it almost never worked because no one knew what the hell I was talking about. It seemed to have only been a New York City thing, and every time I brought it up, no one knew what I was talking about. And so you know what? Thank you to Joe Biden for bringing this nationwide, and on a day as holy as Easter, to let people know like where it ranks in terms of important. But I mean, the gist of my jokes, and this is why, like, sometimes you're almost like, are ahead of the news, and I can't even believe what they're going with this. My joke was that essentially, even if you were pro the trans thing, they're spending a lot of money trying to blend in. And so isn't it mean to have a day of visibility where you're like, hey, I see you, and you're like, shit, I thought I was passing. I spent $45,000 on plastic surgery and monthly hormones, and now you're telling me you can see you? And not as a joke, not ironically, Joe Biden's tweet today on Transgender Day of Visibility, I have a simple message to all of trans Americans. I see you. Isn't the whole point that they're trying not to be seen? That they're trying to blend in? They're trying to be passing? But, you know, he's an old man and he's doing his best to make sure that the people who are trying to do all the things that they could just go, no, I was always this, always the other gender. I was born this way and I spent all this money transferring. But Joe Biden, just letting them feel welcome and letting them know that they are seen. Now let's get into the squatter shenanigans, because I read all sorts of articles about squatters. By the way, you want to go find yourself a good lawyer? Find the guy who's defending squatters. That's got to be the biggest piece of shit in the entire country. They can't even be that much money in defending people that refuse to pay rent. I mean, if you're already so good at showing up to a place and just lying to people's faces, isn't there a more lucrative way to use that skill set than defending people who are moving into in? And it's a pretty good racket. Listen, we might be able to add this to my list of scams. The run your mouth squatter corpse. If you see a new home that's been renovated and they're about to rent it, you just got to send yourself some mail. You move in. You pretend like you had a lease the whole time, and you can get away with 4, 5, 6 months, sometimes even a year of that. Sometimes, actually, you know what? Invest in the run-your-mouth squatter corpse, because I've had this situation where I'm out riding my bike in these nice areas of Connecticut, and there's been times I've seen homes that they almost look like they're abandoned. Like, I've seen mansions in the woods that are just abandoned. We could. I'm sure there's some delinquent run-your-mouthers out there. No jobs, no prospects for the future, nothing going on. You guys can sign up to be a part of the Run Your Mouth Squatter Corps. I'm sure there's some lawyer who listens to the show. Listen, some of my other scams were a little bit ambitious. You know, the higher carbon reducing trees, that's going to take someone who can pretend to do some science and get it in front of some Wall Street people, start getting the money in so that all the pension funds can pile in. I mean, listen, that one's the golden goose. I had jarring your farts. That one, yeah, I don't know. You just need some lady from the crafts place who can put nice labels onto a mason jar. That one's not too difficult, but this one's really easy. I just need one of the people who listens to Run Your Mouth, who really has absolutely nothing going on for them, who currently lives in their basement. They're smoking weed anyways. I'll get out of my bicycle. I'll squat properties. Some lawyer out there will write some letters. And we could start making money trying to rent people's homes back to the rightful owners. How is this even a problem in this country? I mean, you talk about things that we should just bring back public hangings for. It's having the audacity to move into someone's home, knowing that it's not yours, fabricating papers as if it had been leased to you, remaining in the homes, And I mean, the sociopathicness of this, just not to pay rent. And then the cops show up and you just play your game because it's a game that you're playing. And then you can actually show up into court and continue to lie in front of a judge. How are these people not hung on the spot? I mean, if government would have one role, it's protecting people's private property. Is there anything more sacred than actually, it's like two situations. One is your house. That's your house. You work your whole life and then you find out you really don't own anything. Not only do you not own anything, you got to pay taxes on your house. You got to, once you buy a house and you've got that one slice of land that you feel like you might be able to leave it to your kids, except then I think there's still an inheritance tax, right? You put your entire life savings into, oh, but at least I have a security of this home, except that you have to rent it back to the government. And if a bunch of people decide to move into it, well, good luck proving that it was actually yours. Thanks, government. Or you finally get the money together to try and do a rental unit because you don't want to be in the stock market. You want to actually have a little bit of control over an asset and you feel like rentals might be a good asset. And then you get some guy who either just doesn't leave at the end of the lease or someone sees that you did construction on the thing. You put up a rental sign and just decides to move in before the rental. And then you could have cameras showcasing the fact that he clearly hadn't been there for a month. Or how do they even fabricate leases? The balls on this stuff. And the fact that this isn't instantly corrected, the fact that this hasn't just happened once and then some judges turns around and they go, all right, well, we're going to change the laws on that one. And also, just God bless the lawyers who are actually working on these cases on behalf of squatters. So here I wrote my God for outsmarting the squatters. Maybe this is a situation that you're dealing with. I dug in a little bit and it seems like if you take them to court, then you got to go through the whole process of actually proving that they're not the people that live there. So here's the better thing to do is you have to outsmart the squatters and you have to be so annoying that they don't even want to live in your house. So I think like the easiest one, which I've seen the professionals do, it's a little bit like dealing with roaches and you got to like put the baits out on this. You put the cameras out and you just broadcast the person living in your house and you try and shame them out of it. Or I just think here's some better ones. Try and find where their relatives live and just go squat in there. Go find their cubicle, go squat in their cubicle. You gotta play offense. You can't just play defense. You got to go find their stuff and just start claiming that it's your stuff. And then you could do a trade over the fact, I'll trade you your stuff back for my stuff. Or you hire a bunch of autists, right? You can go to any libertarian meeting, except we're like the Fed autists. What you need is a bunch of trained autists. And then you take them and you just move them into that house so that they can have conversations about like trains all the time. And like those really annoying, very technical autistic questions that are nonstop. And maybe that's a good way you scare the squatter out. Or you just start putting up signs on the lawn that like you're having like local Klan meetings or that it's the local white nationalist get together is taking place at this house on the following day. You get fake units outside as if the news is actually broadcasting it. Try and making the guy look like he's up online as a racist, or maybe like just become a beekeeper. You just go out on your own lawn, whole bunch of bees, and see if maybe you can sting these people out of it. All right, you know what? Let's take a couple comments in the future. We're gonna get a second camera angle. What do we got? Wade Mosher, Robbie, I dare you to change the screen, please. I mean, I could. Menso West, why is it easier to evict a baby than it is to evict a squatter? That's a good question. Amanda Huggenkiss, squatters is not really an issue. Like a lot of our issues, it's just what we are talking about this week. Is that true? If you actually break down the numbers, there's not a large number of squatters within the country. That's possible. Does John Cena do the opposite of Trans Day of Visibility because he's straight and you cannot see him? I don't know what the hell that means. Let's take one more. If trans people are made in the image of God, then why are they trying to change it? It's because, you know, it's the same thing as like the reason why the Jews, they do the bris because God made us in the image of God, but we have to come together to make these changes. It's us with God. So God made you perfectly a man within the body of a woman. And now this is your struggle that you have to go engage with medical modern science in order to make all these changes. Did you spend no time paying attention in biblical school? Our entire existence here, God could have just made a perfect world, but the whole thing is that we got to engage with it and make changes. And speaking of making changes, you want things to be afraid of. I mean, I don't know why you might not have even realized that you were supposed to panic about this, but everybody, apparently we're spinning a little bit too fast. Thanks to global warming, the world, it's speeding up. I guess there's too much fluid in the oceans. And since there's too much fluid in the oceans, it's starting to spin up the cycle of the globe. And it's just going to keep spinning faster and faster and faster. And that's why we're going to have to start having like marathons where we run in the other directions, where we start getting on boats and we try and paddle the other way, where we get fans and we try and push the water. I mean, guys, you thought global warming was a problem, and then turned out that maybe the pollutions were actually causing, we're actually making it better because there might have been a cooling incident, or maybe that there's a thing with global dimming, or maybe the marginal harm of increased carbon after a certain threshold that's already naturally in the environment doesn't make a difference. Anyways, listen, those were the old things to be afraid about. The new thing that you got to be afraid about is the fact that we're actually starting to spin too quickly, which makes sense. I don't know if the rest of you guys were feeling dizzy sometimes. Have you had moments recently where you found yourself ever having a headache, feeling dizzy, feeling more tired, feeling like you had more energy, feeling like you had less energy? Maybe this is actually why everyone's been feeling anxious since we put vaccines in them and kept them out of school for a couple of years. In fact, I actually think that's why so many people are dying of fentanyl. It's because the world is spinning too quickly. You guys, that's why I'm always pacing around like this. I'm getting ready for when the world's got to spin and you got to try and keep your balance. You guys thought that this pacing was just chaotic and for no reason. No, I'm training. I'm training for a globe that's going to be spinning too fast. And the rest of you, you're not going to have the leg strength to try and stand still as you can. All right, let's read it. Melting polar ice is messing with global timekeeping. What happened? So much polar ice is melting. By the way, I thought I made up the melting part. I hadn't. This is how great stupidity works. Maybe I did read it. I just didn't remember that. I was okay. Let's just read it. Melting polar ice is messing with global timekeeping. So much polar ice is melting, flowing toward the equator, that it is influencing how fast the Earth spins, complicating global timekeeping, Nature reported Wednesday. Are you guys starting to get panicked about this? We're spinning too fast, everybody. Who said what? Human-caused global warming is managing to actually measurably affect the rotation of the entire Earth. And that's kind of amazing, said study author Duncan Andrew, a geophysicist at UC San Diego Scripps Institution of Oceanography. If you had to come up with the title where you're like, yeah, I guess I'm not a geophysicist expert in the Institute of what is the Institute of Oceanography? Nothing says uncredentialed, hey, don't question what I have to say after this because my expertise is very specific. Let's continue. The commentary. The Earth's rotation slowed for a long period, prompting authorities measuring time by the Earth's rotation astronomical time to add occasional leap seconds to sync up with coordinated universal time, the atomic clock base standard since the 1960s, CNN said, but now the planet is spinning faster. Guys, we're losing seconds every single day. You're going to live a less fulfilling life where at the end of it, you were actually, or maybe every single day when it's 1 o'clock, it's really supposed to be like 12:59.6. And you just keep thinking, you know what? Actually, this is going to throw off my entire OCD because I like starting and finishing tasks on the 15-minute markers, or preferably like 12. I'll finally do this at 12:30. I'll finally do this at 1 o'clock. And if you're telling me that the entire atomic clock might be wrong due to global war, I mean, I might be starting and finishing tasks at the wrong time, which is only going to make things worse. I mean, we're never going to start spinning correctly if every single time you thought that you were starting in a task on the hour, it wasn't actually on the hour. All right, what's next? The rotational changes won't make the Earth jerk to a halt, nor speed up so rapidly that everyone's flung into space, the Washington Post said, but the negative leap second will be a yikes moment for computer-based technology. Oh, guys, we're going back to the Y2K scam. This is fun. You know, they're trying to come up with new things to get us all threatened about. So listen, you don't have to be nervous that we're going to spin so fast that we fall off the Earth. But computers that try and keep time and in their ability to keep their time are able to keep everything running. It's the Y2K thing. When the 12s and the zeros and the zero resets, every single computer is going to turn into a robot and try and kill you. That's what's going to happen. It's going to steal your semen and then kill you and then reinvigorate the Earth with our demon computer offspring. So, guys, just be on the lookout. If you weren't familiar with the fact that you had to be concerned with the earth spinning faster. I'm just cueing you in on these things. Moments like this brought to you by sheathunderwear.com. Use promo code RYM and get yourself 20% off the greatest underwear that's ever graced the balls of man. Because when the world starts spinning a little bit too quickly and you want to be able to shift really quick so that you're actually able to still stand upright while everyone else is falling all over the place, you're going to need yourself Sheath Underwears. I think I got the Saronis on today. My personal favorite, the little camos. I like them longer. I like the longer sheaths. I don't like the mid-range sheaths. I like the long sheaths. Go almost all the way to my knee. I get to feel that smooth, silky fabric every single step I take. Guys, sheathunderwear.com or promo code RYM, 20% off. The greatest underwear that's graced the balls of man. Oh, this is out of order, but we were talking about the squatter epidemic. So Gavin Newsom, seemingly back to being a good governor. I don't know what happened in that guy's presidential race. Was not cut out for it. But when it comes to actually governing, seems like he's one of the better ones. This is from the Wall Street Journal. And it's the changes he made in Florida law so that people don't have to deal with the squatters. Some states, you know what? Let's go full screen. Makes it easier for me to read. Some states are wising up on Wednesday. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed bipartisan legislation to let police boot squatters immediately and apply criminal penalties for anyone presenting a fake lease or doing more than $1,000 in damage. Off the bat, sounds logical to me. Sounds like a reasonable policy. I don't understand why you'd be able to fake a lease and have that not be something that you would face criminal penalties for. Let's continue. On Tuesday, the Georgia legislature approved a bill criminalizing squatting. A Long Island state assemblyman has introduced anti-squatting legislation in New York. Numbers are hard to come by, but in a survey taken last fall of its members who own single-family rental homes, the NRHC found about 1,200 homes taken over by squatters in Atlanta. It was 475 in Dallas-Fort Worth and 125 in Orange County. Doesn't sound not substantial. Although I guess maybe this is a racket between lawyers where, you know, the lawyers who will actually show up and defend the squatters in court, maybe they get a payout from the lawyers that you have to hire in order to try and evict the squatters. And that's the way that this game is being played, just to ramp up some legal fees for everybody. Up next, Sriracha fans fume about Hui Fong's milder taste. Are you guys finding a lot of your food is less delicious? Like Oreos. Oreos is a prime example. Do you find that you eat more of your food to try and achieve whatever that satisfying thing that you used to like about your food was? There's something about Oreos where you almost have to eat like five of them to readjust to the bad flavor, and then the last one tastes good, and then you want more. It's like some sort of a chemical that they put into snacks now where like the first like half of the bag of snacks that you're eating doesn't taste good, and then it's not until like the last quarter of whatever you're eating that it actually starts feeling like it tastes good. And then they put a little bit less in it. And so you feel like, well, there was less than what there used to be. So if I eat a second one, it's not like I'm being I'm not being an overly fat individual. I had no choice, but here it is. Sriracha is actually I was never a big fan of Sriracha. The first time I tried it, I was like, oh, hell yeah, this is interesting. This got some tang on it. But then, like, by the next time, it was like a kind of like a rotten ketchup. And I'm a big fan of the hot sauces. My current favorite is I like the Tabasco Habanero. I think it's just because I'm a sucker for sweets and they flavored it with like some pineapple. Every once in a while, you'll try some local hot sauce and be like, wow, that's pretty good. Sometimes hot sauces just get exciting because it's different than what your standard hot sauce is. And then you try and make that your staple hot sauce and you realize it was just kind of good as a one-off. Which was kind of my first experience with Sriracha, where you're like, this is pretty good. And then by like the fourth time eating it, you're like, oh, this is like a rotten hot sauce. But very rarely do I actually see articles documenting things with less flavor, which is an odd side of inflation. That's an odd side to inflation. When Biden's actually up there and he's going like, just we're taking on complaint. Like, it's not just the shrinkflation, but it's the fact that everything that you eat just tastes a little bit worse. And that's hard to quantify. It's hard to even prove. You're in court. You're like, Your Honor, I don't know why, but the Oreos don't taste as good. This is from the New York Times. They're trying to do everything they can to, you know, normalize Biden's dementia. Hey, listen, Donald Trump is old too. hey, look, Donald Trump, he messes up also. And so this was in the New York Times. They were trying to showcase, hey, listen, we might not like Biden, but you know how much people don't like the world leaders? It's actually normal not to like your world leaders. Nobody likes their world leaders. In fact, even though Joe Biden's disapproval rating is so high from a global perspective, he's actually on the lower end of disapproval ratings. This is like their new way of just messing with our heads and pretending like it's totally normal for there to be high. It's like, guys, world leaders have always been retarded. Do you guys not remember King Louis the Tard? The one that said, I like when my hair is shaped like titties. Do you guys not remember this guy? This is the new thing where they just try and sell us on. Yeah, everyone, we've always had world leaders that couldn't talk, walk on steps, and seem to forget things. That was always the way it worked. This was also from the New York Times. I liked their outlining of the issues that people are having with Joe Biden. And obviously one of the big ones is inflation. And so let's see how the New York Times explained the United States inflation problem. Let's give this a read. The world has seen, let's go, actually, no, this is pretty, these are big, bold letters. We don't have to go small screen. You guys can see my beautiful face while I read this. The world has seen a sharp increase in prices over the past few years. As bad as inflation has been in the U.S., it has been worse in European countries, more directly affected by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Once again, guy, we have it good here. Our guy's only a little bit demented. You know how demented other world leaders are? Rising prices anger voters. Your hard-earned money is worth less. When prices rise, it feels like something is taken away from you. My colleague, Jenna Samalik, who covers the U.S. economy, has said, and people direct much of that anger towards their leaders. People also don't like the solution to inflation. To slow price increases, central bankers have raised interest rates. But higher interest rates also make loans, credit card payments, and mortgages more expensive. This helps explain why people are so upset, even as inflation has fallen. It's basically voters by like, hey, I thought I wasn't going to have to work. Yeah, weren't you guys saying something about us deserving free stuff? What happened to that free thing? I thought you guys said that things were going to be free. Now you're telling me that if you give it to me and it's free, things will cost more. And then if you make it that if the money I'm earning doesn't earn less, then I can't have as much free money. I don't like that at all. What happened to the free thing that you guys kept telling me about? An attack of the vapors, Tennessee bill endorses chemtrails conspiracy theory. Anyone, listen, anyone want to become a content producer for the Run Your Mouth podcast? We got our kid. He's doing a good job on the graphics, making me some nice intros. But we got to start getting some experts on. What happened in Tennessee? Does Tennessee actually have the information on chemtrails? Are chemtrails actually a real thing? Are they actually bad? Is that why Tennessee had to put forward a bill banning chemtrails? Or is this the newest political stunt where you ban things that don't even happen? Because firstly, I'm on board with any conspiracy at this point. I stopped drinking my tap water because the fluoride was turning me gay. Okay. And since that happened, there's no conspiracy theory since COVID that you can tell me that I'm just going to blatantly be like, well, that's not true. All right. Ever since I started hydrating by shoving a garden hose up my ass, I realized that, you know what? Anything could be real. And since I stopped drinking the fluoride, you know, I'm totally back to being straight and normal again. So I'm just saying at this point in my life, there's no conspiracy theory I won't believe. And you can't research every single one of them. What am I going to go down to the North Pole and see if there's actually an ice wall? Am I going to actually find Michelle Obama, lift up her skirt and confirm whether or not that's a giant clitter or a giant penis? You can't confirm every single conspiracy theory, but then, you know, we live in a world now where you got to trust the government. And so if the government, even in a specific state, is coming forward and telling you that the chemtrails are dangerous, then I got to be like, listen, the government and the scientists in Tennessee said that. And as far as I know, we're supposed to be listening to the scientists, even if it turns out after the fact that just kind of sort of appeared like the chemtrails in our skies. So can someone from Tennessee find this bill and let me know what information they actually have on chemtrails? Or is this just a new political scheme where you ban things that don't even exist? Like you can get up as a senator and go, I have successfully banned aliens in our skies and globin pollutants from the water. You won't find a single piece of globin pollutants in our rivers since I passed our anti-globin. And then you got to sit around. You go, oh, good. That guy got rid of the globin. I removed all the dangerous lizards from our parks. I was the first senator to pass a law against dangerous lizards, and I removed all the dangerous lizards. Anyone want to come on? Anyone got an expert of mine? Chemtrails? We got a bunch of expert segments we're going to have to do. I had some doctors that emailed me with fake studies. We're going to have to follow up on that one, and we're going to have to see if there's any truth to the chemtrails. FDA may consider ban on chemical and decaf coffee over cancer concerns. I don't really care about that. Just drink regular coffee. Don't be a pussy. Apparently, you take the just like if you're going to drink coffee, just go through the anxiety and the caffeine like the rest of us, where you go from tired to just anxious and angry, back to tired, back to diarrhea. It's like don't be drinking. Coffee's not. It's only good because of the anxiety roller coaster that you get to live on of the seesawing. Of drinking the coffee. What are you doing with the decaf? Just either get on board with the lifestyle or don't. Supreme Court will weigh in on the January 6th insurrection. What could possibly go wrong? The court's decision could potentially undermine over 300 January 6th prosecutions, including Trump's. This was a headline from Vox. Of course, is a liberal publication. They'd like to see as many of these people who walked around the Capitol remain in jail. Remember, those are domestic terrorists. So a lot of these folks were prosecuted on the basis that they obstructed a formal hearing. And so that is now going to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court might overrule that that's something, or at least that this is formally, I guess, a obstruction of a formal hearing. It seemed like a very loose thing to go to jail for. It's the problem with when they start going after corruption and criminals, and you got so many laws in the books that if they want to find you guilty of something, it like what Paul Manafort, all of a sudden he goes to jail for something. That was that an example? Maybe that's not a great example, but you guys get what I'm saying. They put so many laws on the books that if they want to find you in trouble, you're in trouble. And if they don't want to find you in trouble, you're not in trouble. There's always some law that they could track down to go, hey, you're in trouble for something. And so this one obstructing. So I don't know, every single time someone yells outside of Congress, is that an obstruction? If I get in front of your car and I'm driving too slowly and you're going to vote on a bill, did I just obstruct it? I mean, how loose or how strict, how is this going to be applied? And so the Supreme Court is looking into that. Some people might be freed. Even had one case of a guy being freed. This was from Newsweek. And this is just how disgusting the January 6th prosecutors are. Let's give this a read. The case, Fisher versus United States, challenges the DOJ's use of the obstruction of an official proceeding charge, which has been used against January 6th defendants for allegedly disrupting the Electoral College certification. After the Supreme Court agreed to hear arguments in the case, some defendants filed for release pending the final ruling. Jumping ahead in the article, Newsweek reached out to Seyfried's lawyer for comment via email. The ruling comes just a week after a federal prosecutor warned that January 6th defendants' appeals based on Fisher could backfire. U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves wrote in a court filing last week that if the Supreme Court sides with Fisher, the government could request consecutive rather than concurrent sentences for defendants, misdemeanor charges, which in some cases may not necessarily result in a shorter prison sentence. They always got some leverage on you. All right, fine. So we brought a charge against you that you're not actually liable for. But guess what? We're going to rechange the rules of the game. And if you guys want to actually get that one overturned, then we're going to change what we promised you in the way that we're actually prosecuting this. So you're going to spend even more time in jail. Oh, well, I can't make that change. Well, here's this other thing that we told you that you'd be off for, but we're going to prosecute you for it again. Oh, you can't afford a lawyer? Well, great. We're going to pull you into jail for blank amount more time. All right, before we get into the Lizzo thing, let's plug our last sponsor for today's episode, PhoenixAmmo.com. Everybody listening to the show, I know you're out there. You love your Second Amendment. You've got your armory. I've seen your safes. I've seen all the guns that you guys have. I've seen how you love everywhere I go. Everyone's always inviting me shooting. And I actually really do appreciate those. And I try and take advantage of those offers because as a Jew from New York, I have not shot a lot of guns. I'm still not that comfortable with guns. I don't really know how to use them. I should own one and I don't own one. So every single time someone makes that offer and I'm actually not just running to the next gig, I almost always try and say yes, because I've learned a good deal about, I've learned how to use a sniper scope when I was out in Las Vegas. I once, Dr. Krim had me fire a hunting rifle, left a nice mark. I don't think I actually had that on my shoulder properly. Anyways, I've had a lot of fun hanging out with you guys. And so why not support the sponsor, supports the show, go load up at phoenixammo.com. Really fits what we do here because they will not sell to the United States government. They will not support the war machine. You will not be buying bullets from a company that's going to be giving things over and prolonging wars in other countries, sending bullets so that it can be, there's no drone being used by the people of Phoenix Ammo out in Yemen or other places. So go to phoenixammo.com, support the Run Your Mouth sponsor. No promo code needed, but let them know that we sent you and go stock up. All right, let's take a couple comments. Let's see what's going on in the comments section. Lost my mouse here. Park, oh, hell yeah, I made it to live, finally. Welcome, nice to have you. Amanda Hug and Kiss, I didn't intend on citing them to prop up my claim. They just seem to be the only ones with collaborative evidence. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Kent Woods, I made a concerted effort to not react to whatever the new thing media is collectively trying to flame attention to, like migration and squatting. Well, that's what we do on our show. Park is the one on the left you. Yeah, I respect that one. I just need a goatee and a dress. Let me tell you, the trans people have ruined cross-dressing, because like when I was out in Key West and I saw like those female like jumpers, like kind of what that guy's wearing, those seem like great in the hot weather. If someone can make female rompers with that lightweight material for men so that, you can have your sheaths not even be what, like you could just kind of almost what the drummer from Fish wears. All right, I got distracted. Good comment. Thank you, sir. Lizzo embraces body neutrality. The singer Lizzo has a new swim line, has moved on from body positivity. She walked that one back pretty quickly. That one, already knees are starting to hurt, and she walked that one back. And then it's fun how much the internet can get to people who are rich and successful and people like that. Apparently she's saying that she's quitting music. Here's the thing. Do whatever the hell you want in life. Like, go do whatever you want in life. But sometimes when you celebrate things that just shouldn't be celebrated, you're asking the internet. It's kind of like Madonna. It's like just be an old lady. You did a whole run where you were a sexy person and you still got good tunes. Just do the old lady thing. Or in this case, like Aretha Franklin ruled. No one's ever shat on Aretha Franklin. She's a great singer. Just put some pants on and don't show off the big likes or celebrate them or try and get us to pretend like they're beautiful. And then celebrate other people trying to get fatter in the name of beauty. You show up to a plane and you can't fit in a seat. And you're like, this plane just doesn't respect how beautiful I am. And it's like, no, that's psychotic. We don't need to all be on board with things that are just not true. And so it's okay to be larger. And it's really cool if you're larger and you manage to have no one's giving Jelly Roll a hard time, because Jelly Roll's not out there going, these are the most beautiful way that anyone could ever be. And I encourage all kids to look this way. And then who are the people behind this lady who actually pushed it? We're like, no, we're making money off of this. We're really going to sell this one. New York takes crucial step toward making congesting pricing a reality. Just boycott New York. Everybody take your business to other places. Somebody buy me a comedy club I can get up every night at outside of New York. I'm done with this place. I already pay tolls. There's already tolls. Every single time I go into New York City, I'm already paying tolls. And now just for being in the city, you're going to charge me an extra $15 on top of that. And I know it doesn't sound like much, but that's $15 on top of $15 in tolls, $10 in gas. And you're already doing $40 just off of getting in. And that doesn't include having a single beverage, a single sandwich. There's probably other expenses I'm not even thinking of off the top of my head, just in terms of getting in. And it's, of course, because it's not like this money's going to be going to better roads. It'd be one thing if you said, listen, there's too much congestion in New York City, so we're going to start charging everybody $15 for being in New York City, and we're going to use that money to build the Boring Company tunnels underneath so that we could double the amount of roads that we have and remove some of the congestion. Or what we're going to do is, look at this. This is incredible. We're on an island here. The West Side Highway always has traffic on it, so we're actually going to build lanes going into the ocean. We have contracted with this company. We figured out floating highway lanes, or it's going to be like a bridge, and we're going to actually widen Manhattan, and we're going to widen the outside highway of Manhattan to be 6 lanes. There's never going to be traffic again, and you can always go either to the East Side Highway or the West Side Highway, and there's going to be a wider road there. I would go, okay, at least you're taking the money, and you're going to spend it on making the product better. But in this case, what they're doing is they're taxing us to try and force us onto public transportation because it's become so bad. It's because to the rich people, the $15 means nothing if they can try and force more and more people. You know what's going to end up happening? The hours that I come into the city purposely later at night because there's less traffic, you're going to have a more even distribution as traffic as you get more people who are just trying to avoid the congestion toll. Because at night, I think it falls from like $15 to $2.50, but you still got to pay the $2.50. Or you're going to see more traffic just outside of the congestion zone and then more money, I guess, being filtered to the MTA to not even improve the public transportation that nobody wants to use. Infuriating. Researchers near safer anti-clogging drugs. I didn't really research this one. I just thought it was kind of funny that Johnson & Johnson now has an anti-blood clotting drug coming to market. I'm a psychologist. Here's what your favorite donut says about you. I like the idea of a donut psychologist. I like, you know what I mean? Instead of like the Rorsky, whatever test, you showing me images or listening to this, the past. I listen. I don't know. Maybe you guys have had success with shrinks. I'm a crazy person. It's not for me. One time I went and they were like, you have ADD, here's some Adderall. And then it turned out Adderall's only fun when you're taking it and it's somebody else's medication. If you're taking it every day, you just feel super angry and medicated. It's not a good time. Adderall's a good time if you got a specific task that you need to get done and you take some random ass dosage and you either lock in or you give up and go party. Or it's the better cocaine. Let's be real. If you want to go, if you're really going out drinking and you want a nice stimulant in the mix, it's a better one, particularly Ritalin. If I had to pick an absolute favorite, it would be whatever me and Johnny took down in Mexico that was just labeled meth from one of those little Mexican-y science-y pharmacies. And I bailed on it. I left it down there along with a year's supply of ivermectin. It's a decision that I regret in my life, right? Where another time I went to see a psychologist and, you know, they always want you to talk about your life. And then I was just like, you know, I'll just fix it. I'll just fix the things. And that worked out well for me because the idea of having to like talk about what was bothering me was so painful. I just went and fixed things. And then you'd have to show up each week and be like, I'll take a stab at the entire shrink agency. One, they like to medicate. Two, the entire thing reinforces problems because you're always looking at the problem and you're thinking about the problem and you're identifying with the problem. You know, what would be a better structure is just like activity coaches. You know what I mean? Like, for example, whatever you find yourself stuck with, I wish that this existed. I wish that there was like a business consultant I could just call in the middle of the day, every single day when I'm having problems and things are stressing me out and the guy makes a recommendation. And then over time, you just learn how to handle those specific situations. Or I don't have a wife or girlfriend. You get into a fight with your wife or girlfriend and then you're all anxious. You don't really know how to communicate. You don't really know how to handle the situation. And then you get a consultant specific for that. Or you're a fat, lazy bum. So you get a guy who teaches you how to work out at the gym. You get a person who helps you eat healthy. Like you can't fall asleep at night. You get some nurse who jerks you off and reads you a lullaby. I'm just saying, whatever your problem is, like specific activity coaches and not just identifying with problems and the negativity and then talking about it. That whole thing. I don't know. It seems like a Western medicine mess. And listen, maybe psychologists have fixed your life. And if it wasn't for the antidepressants that you're on, you'd be dead in a ditch right now. So God bless. I'm not trying to tell anyone not to take whatever they told you to take. And, you know, go see the people. And I hope that it helps you and you fix your life. But here's a slightly different lens of the, you know, I'm giving you my pitch for if I had to start from scratch and remake society, we wouldn't have some giant DSIM of different disorders that drug companies lobby to include more things in there and then reduce the amount of things on some checklist. Look at any one of those checklists. You can have every mental disorder you ever wanted. Any single one of them. You want to come back autistic? Sure. Do you feel awkward at a social thing? Yeah, I sometimes feel awkward at a social thing. Do you sometimes check things too much? Oh, I guess I have OCD too. Do you sometimes stress out about random things? Oh yeah, I guess I have anxiety also. Are you sometimes sad and don't feel like you know the direction of your life? Oh my God, I guess I'm depressed too. Maybe I'm just describing that I have every mental illness, but I think you guys understand what I'm saying. Anyways, I appreciated this. A lady who's going to run her entire practice over your choice of donuts. I saw this headline and I was like, I like it. But then her analysis, very basic, very basic. But firstly, you know, you're just talking about the standard donuts. And firstly, I think what might be more telling is when you're eating the donuts, Is it late at night because you're high, or middle of the afternoon because you're giving up? That's going to be a good sign. And then all the donuts that they're talking about are basic bitch donuts. And who's just eating one of these donuts? You want to eat a whole variety of donuts. You want to be sampling the donuts. Anyways, I think the lady was onto something in saying that she could learn things about people in their donut choices. But I still think that that's preliminary sciences. And I'm very unimpressed with what she did there. All right, we're basically done with this episode. I got two videos. We had this making the rounds, visiting people's homes. Whiny Jew bitch complaining about lack of resources when he decided to squat in the university's library. But I'm not in the mood for these things.
I was one of the few students who was arrested last night.
We'll be back probably Friday with another one. And go to comicdavesmith.com. I do have some tour dates opening up for Dave Smith. In terms of porch tour, I don't know. It's going to happen. I just have to actually confirm some dates. So email me those porches, robsnewsroom@gmail.com. I guess I'm a little reluctant because I just want to make sure I have enough new material before I re-hit some of the spots that we did in previous years. But there's all sorts of places that I haven't done. Like, someone hit me up out in, like, the Minnesotas. I've never done the Minnesotas. Atlanta, that I didn't do last year. How come no one comes forward with the porch in Atlanta? I'd like to get back to Philly. I haven't done Philly in a couple years. I haven't done Boston in a couple years. I just want to, like, re-hit all the places that I haven't done in a while. And then I'll have a bunch of new material, and then I can go back to the other spots. And I also don't really want to do live podcasts on summer porch tour anymore. But anyways, listen, these are just all the thoughts that are floating around in my head. We'll get to all of it. But in the meantime, you go to comicdavesmith.com. I got a whole bunch of tour dates opening up for him. That's easy. I just did. If someone buys a plane ticket, I get to show up. I get to drink in a green room. I get to do my best 30 minutes. Man, opening up for Dave Smith, that's easy. Porch tour. Yeah, you got to set up. You got to, but it's more fun. Once you kind of get on the road and you got four cities stacked together and you're drinking in backyards. Listen, the episode is over, so I don't know why I'm still talking. Go to comicdavesmith.com. Bunch of cool dates coming up. Tacoma, Seattle, Portland, Spokane. And I don't know, some other ones. All right, let's take a couple of comments. You should go to Reno, Nevada or Quincy, California. I'll give you my porch. We did Reno, Nevada last year. It was absolutely one of the best of the show of the porch tours. I will hopefully be back there in September or October, because I would like to do Las Vegas worked out great. Reno worked out great. Phoenix, Arizona worked out great. We're going to do all those again. I just want to make sure I have enough new material. Dan Carthy, Comedy Wisconsin. I would like to. We did Milwaukee last year. That was a blast. But there's a lot of Wisconsin I have never performed at. LP, who needs Adderall when you've got pre-workout? I don't know. Pre-workout, it's a different buzz. It's a different buzz. It makes you tingly. It's a different thing. Park, you should go to I already read that one. Robbie could be the first sandwich psychologist. I probably could be. All right, that's our episode. Back probably Friday with another one. Thanks, and keep running your mouth, just yelling at people. Doesn't matter if you make any sense, just talk.